The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 99. There was a lot of transatlantic traffic coming out of Burobo, as it turned out. Plenty of ships were heading in the direction of North America, but, as I had surmised, none of them were even remotely enthusiastic about taking inexperienced seamen aboard. All these vessels were fully manned by actual sailors who had actual experience sailing on actual ships. A couple of the less professional-seeming captains were willing to take us on as passengers, but only if we were able to pay them a fairly substantial amount of cash. As we had not even an insubstantial amount, this was clearly not possible. We, that is to say I, began to despair of ever seeing home again. I did not possess sufficient powers of imagination to conceive of any idea how we would get across the ocean if some seafaring sort did not take pity on us and provide free passage. Just when we were about to give up hope entirely, Alvy found a ship. It was an old World War II vintage thing. It looked pretty battered and rusty, and none too seaworthy to me. As we climbed aboard, there was an acrid black smoke issuing from it, and not just from its funnel. But, Alvy assured us, it was perfectly fine, and the captain had agreed to take us on. Two of us would work as deckhands, and the third would be the cook's helper. So, putting aside my feelings of dread, I joined the others on board the ship. I called dibs on the cook's helper position. I had no interest in being a deckhand. I had visions of being stuck out on a deck in a raging storm, wrestling with ropes and trying to tie a half-hitch or three-in-hand or some other stupid kind of knot, and that frightened me a lot. Cutting up vegetables seemed a good deal less dangerous. The SS Stadzon was a Greek-owned and operated freighter that still used a coal-fired engine, which explained the continuous black smoke seeping out through its many patched seams. It had a crew of 18, including the three of us, and the captain, who neither Roger nor I had yet laid eyes on. We had met Evangelos, though. Evangelos was, I guess, what you would call the first mate. He was, at any rate, the oldest member of the crew, and I suspected that he might have been on board the Stadzon when it was first commissioned. He had the grizzled face of a lifelong sailor. In its deep lines and the leathery skin of his weathered visage, you could read the tale of a life spent at sea. I guess this sort of thing is supposed to inspire confidence in the naval expertise of the owner of such a face, but for me, anyway, it did no such thing. Evangelos did not seem a particularly trustworthy or competent individual. He just seemed seedy and old. The Stadzon was bound, luckily for us, for Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the trip would take, according to Evangelos, slightly more than 10 days. The slightly more worried me. My experience on this little trek had been that these things had a tendency to take much longer than advertised. But once again, what choice did I really have?